This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest, Dr. Bly Grant, is a senior lecturer at the University of Technology in Sydney in the Institute for Public Policy and Governance. We want to talk to him about the potential implosion of Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party. Dr. Grant wrote a book back in 1997 about Pauline and One Nation, and I'm curious to get some thoughts given all of the news this week, Kathy. There's been all bad news, excepting probably the good news. One good bit of good news for One Nation, which is the defection of an LNP politician to the One Nation Party over medicinal cannabis. Mm-hmm. Well, the state election, which is happening next year. Dr. Grant, good morning.
Good morning, Peter and Kathy.
Good to talk to you. We've sort of seen a whole bunch of stories in the last week, 10 days, around candidates making some fairly stupid social media posts around homophobia and various other things. We saw one this week who actually suggested that the body of a young Syrian refugee, the boy that washed up on a Turkish beach, was a fabrication, and that the Port Arthur massacre was a fabrication. Is she finding some of the stupidest people to stand as candidates for her party?
Well, I'm not sure about that. We'd have to have a qualitative criteria for stupid, which would be quite difficult, but I'm sure we could invent one if we sat down. I hasten to add that those comments were alleged to have been posted by Peter Rogers, not that I'm a lawyer, and God knows I probably wouldn't want to be one. I'd fail dreadfully at it, but it's important to point that out, and he's actually denied that. However, there is the abstracting from the detail, some of the homophobic comments being particularly concerning. Taking a step back from that detail, I think it's important to point out that these kinds of political movements, populism in general, a feature of them is their public clumsiness and their lack of nuance with respect to the accepted mores of public behaviour for politicians. And that's one of the reasons why people are drawn to these types of political movements. So we might see a little bit of a tightening of the sails by Pauline around the good ship One Nation. But these kinds of things, these kinds of incidents are both good and bad for the party.
Well, the question is, in fact, that she's not quite steering the ship, that there is another puppeteer behind her that is pulling the strings. And this is James Ashby. This is one of the most sort of alarming things. I was doing a whole bunch of research this week. We know that James Ashby was the man who tried to undo Peter Slipper, that there was a lot of questions around some of the legality of the activity involved with the downfall of Peter Slipper, and those others involved being, I think, at the time, Mel Brough and Wyatt Roy. This young man is a very questionable character, and I think any look through his history will see that he's sort of been fired from a variety of jobs, including as a radio broadcaster, for some fairly unsavoury behaviour. Is him as the puppeteer and Pauline as the puppet, is just simply a recipe for disaster?
Well, I wouldn't like to cast any dispersions on the young man's character without looking at some very, very hard evidence. But what I will say is that for those of us that can remember Pauline Hanson 20 years ago, this is almost a precise repeat of the kind of behaviour that we saw then, where two individuals in particular, namely David Oldfield and
Etridge.
Michael Etridge. I beg your pardon, sorry. Were more it's accused of being the puppeteers of Pauline Hanson. And this is, of course, quite upsetting for people, or quite revelatory for people who are attracted to populist politicians precisely for their claim of authenticity, that is to speak for the average person, the claim that they're being sort of, that their movements are thoroughly orchestrated is quite an offensive one. So there's 2 points there, I guess. First, we've seen this before, and secondly, that it really, the notion of being, of populist politicians being thoroughly orchestrated, really offends the idea of authenticity, which is a large part of their appeal, their electoral appeal, and also their charismatic appeal beyond electoral politics, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, but having said that, it's very important to remember, Peter, that politics is like anything else. You do need your interlocutory texts, your people to organise. And I was thinking about this before we came to air. I was thinking, wow, that's right. One of the most famous political books ever written in the history of the Western canon, that is Machiavelli, Niccolò Machiavelli's The Prince, is written from precisely that perspective, and that is that, you know, the prince has to be basically immoral to be a good leader. So it's a more or less constant, well, if not constant, at least perennial feature of politics. And in particular, it's important when you have people that are not inculcated into the mores of politics, or relative amateurs. I'm not accusing Pauline Hanson of being an amateur, but I'm just saying politics is a system.
Quite gladly
politics so. Politics is a system. Well, you guys can do that. I can't sort of, you know, try to keep my personal point of view a little bit more aloof than that, even if it's only on radio. But they need people that understand the system, and clearly Mr. Ashby is in a position where he can, his services can assist. Now, those of us from the sovereign state of New South Wales are used more rather than less used to these kinds of people being a feature of, in particular, Labor Party politics, for example, where we've had a series of inquiries.
Well, you've had ICAC.
That's exactly right. Well, we still have ICAC, thank God. And my friends from other jurisdictions constantly point out the, you know, the more or less blatantly at least litigious nature of politics in New South Wales, if not its corrupt nature. This element of populist politics, again, is a perennial feature of, or more or less constant feature. And some of the people that were involved the last time Pauline was around, I've had the opportunity to meet when I was editing the book that was published 20 years ago this year, actually. And they were quite affable people. They knew a lot about politics, and they also knew how to run things. So in that sense, they were very, very focused and very, very very professional in what they did. And whether or not we choose to agree with their politics is another thing, but they were certainly employed to do a job.
Well, Dr. Grant, it's Kathy here. Can I put something to you? I mean, we're talking a lot about this week. There's been a lot of controversy around the comments that some of these candidates have been making. And I'll put it to you that these people are not necessarily following a party line because they're attracted by the cult personality of Pauline Hanson.
The occult.
Who is, and let's, you know, we have to be honest, and even though she personally revolts me, but you have to be honest and say that she is a charismatic person to a lot of people. But it really shouldn't be that surprising that all of these candidates are mouthing off and being, shooting from the hip and doing things fast and loose, because that's what they're seeing from Pauline. That's been her modus operandi. That's how she rolls. That's why people love her. And so, you know, it should really be no surprise, don't you think, that she's attracting these types of people?
Absolutely. And I think it's very important to put the kinds of events that we've seen this week into that perspective, both of populist politics and of this is the second historical iteration of this particular, as you say, charismatic leader from the far right. Some people would say, I think that in terms of political ideology, what Pauline Hanson's One Nation stands for is a little bit more complex than that. But yes, that's correct, Kathy. That's what I said to begin with, is that these kinds of anti-political statements, despite the fact that they appear to be prima facie oxymoronic, do have that appeal. appeal to people. Now, in the book that we did in 1997, if you'll let me just ramble on a little bit more.
Well, you have about 15 seconds to ramble before we have to cut you off, I'm afraid.
Okay, we talked about the politics of emotivism, and that's the way that we label it in political science. So while it feels really good, once you sit down and think about it and nut it through, it doesn't really make that much sense. Yeah. So that's the way that we...
we'll continue this discussion with you, Dr. Blygrant, as the as the Hanson cab rolls on. We'll no doubt see the wheels fall off. Interesting you mentioned oxymoronic. I think for a long time she was called the Oxley moron, so quite appropriate. We're grateful for your time. Grateful for your time. Morning.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.